Maseches Trumas, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishneh Hey, 11:5. More discussion on the ancillary parts of Truma fruits and questioning whether or not they have Truma status. Here we talk about the seeds. So some seeds, like an apricot seed, is just totally inedible. And since it's inedible, it's not a non-starter. For sure, it doesn't have the end of Truma. But certain seeds are edible if you really want to eat them, like an apple seed. My grandma used to eat the apple through and through, core and all, and that's not a problem. You can do it if you want to also. So apple seeds, really, you could eat, and therefore they're sort of food-ish. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, Garine Truma, if you have the seeds of fruits, that the seeds are food-ish, you could eat them if you wanted to. So those seeds, Truma status, depends. Bizmanshu Mechansan, if it's a scenario where the Kohen is setting aside the seeds to consume them later on, then it's considering them food, and that being the case, asuros, they carry all the restrictions of truma. Vim hishlichan, if on the other hand he threw them away, they're just now garbage seeds, then mutaros, they become unrestricted, they're just like any, they don't have a status of truma, and that being the case, a non-kohen could eat those seeds. Again, we're talking about seeds that are like borderline edible seeds. V'chein atzamos hakadshim, the same rationale applies to the bones of sacrificial meat. So here we're referring to, let's say you have an offering. So the offering must be eaten. Some offerings are eaten by Kohanim. Some can be eaten by non-Kohanim as well. But all sacrificial meat has a deadline. Some is a one-day, some is a two-day offering. But at some point, after a day or two, it becomes forbidden to consume that meat. And that meat is called nosar, leftover meat, and actually carries a severe penalty of kares, divine excision, in the event that one would consume that meat. So the question is, what's with the bones of sacrificial animals? So the same kind of principle is going to apply. Some bones are totally inedible, in which case, of course, they're not food, non-starter. But other bones are sort of softer, like cartilaginous bones, and so like the soft part, the marrow bone, and so you could eat that part of the bone if you really wanted to. So the question is, does that barely edible, borderline edible bone, cartilage, whatever you want to call it, count as being meat to the point that if one ate it after the deadline, he'd be liable for nosar? So it's the same principle applying. Bzman shehu mechansan, if a person didn't discard the bones, he saved them for later consumption. Asurim, the bones remain restricted with all the restrictions of regular sacrificial meat. Vimishlichan, once you've discarded those bones as garbage, then mutarin, they become unrestricted and whatever, you know, there's garbage. Fine. Now we're talking about a new thing here, which is the waste products that arrive as you mill grain, like wheat. So let's just make sure this is clear. There's two separate stages in the processing of wheat, which creates waste product. The first stage is called threshing, dush. That's when you have the stalks, you put them on the threshing floor, you have the cow go around in circles, pull in that heavy board, and separates the wheat from the chaff. That chaff is totally inedible. It's a non-starter. It's for sure not food. You can give it to animals, but not to people at all. So we're not talking about the waste product from threshing. But after you've done the threshing, you'll have little kernels of wheat after you've winnowed them and did borer. And so you collect basically wheat kernels, the kind of things you buy in the store when you're going to make your challenge, whatever it is. And that wheat kernels, those wheat kernels are stored. And then when you want to make bread, what you'll do is you'll grind them. Tochen trina, it's called milling in English. You'll mill the wheat kernels, and then you'll be basically left with a flour, which you sift, merakid, and the sifting process separates the finer flour from the bran, which you don't want to eat necessarily. So the bran is actually, there's a few different parts to the wheat kernel. The wheat that you want, the white, shiny, new white flour, that's called endosperm. That's like the main part of the wheat kernel. But there's also three other parts to it. There's something called the germ that's actually inside the kernel, wheat germ, super nutritious for you. It's good stuff, but it doesn't make for a perfectly white flour. So some people want to sift that out, although it's quite fine. More coarse is the outer, I'll call it skin, on the around the wheat kernel, that's called the bran, and whole wheat flour includes it, but non-whole wheat flour sifts it out. And then you actually have some even more coarse, the brush. It's like kind of like, it's like rough, like hairy, that's on the outside of the kernel. And that's super inedible, and you don't want to eat that if you can avoid it. It's just not really food. So we're going to say essentially the same kind of rationale as before is going to apply here also. We're going to say in the waste, the bran waste that comes from sifting the flour after you've milled the wheat, you'll have different stages. The first stage, the most coarse stuff of all, is called mursan. And mursan, that brush, super inedible, you don't want to eat it, it's not food. The same as we're going to talk about bones is not food and stems of flour, stems of fruit, not food. So the mursan is basically this coarse, inedible, you know, super fibrous material. You don't want to eat it. In the time of Chazal, actually, they save their mursan and use it as an exfoliant to rub on their skin to get off the dead skin. It's rough and horrible. You're not eating that. So that part, the mursan for sure, is not going to have a truma status because it's inedible, not food. But the bran, the more edible bran, which the Mishnah will call subin, is perfectly edible. Nowadays, it's all the rage. It's healthy for you, let's say. In the time of Chazal, they preferred not to eat the bran. They wanted, white flour. But subin is perfectly edible. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, when it comes to the remnants of sifting flour, hamursan mutar, the mursan, that really coarse fibrous material, which is inedible, is mutar, meaning it's unrestricted. There's no truma restrictions on it. And the Kohen, non-Kohen who consumes mursan that from a truma wheat plant would not be liable to anything. Subin, on the other hand, so it depends. The Mishnah says, shel chadashos asuros v'shel yishanos mutaros. If it's from fresh wheat, then it's forbidden. And if it's from old wheat, it's permitted. Now, this is a little misleading. When you hear about yashan and chadash in the context of wheat, you probably think of last year's crop and this year's crop divided by the bring of the Omer. Don't think that. We're not talking about that at all. We're simply talking about fresh versus non-fresh, freshly cut, freshly harvested wheat. Things like this. When you take wheat, you're going to detach it from the ground. Like the Chag HaKatzir, the time for reaping the wheat and harvesting it, is going to be Shavuos time, like the beginning of the summer, right? But then that wheat sits out in the field the whole summer long to dry out. And then comes Sukkot time, at the end of the summer is Chag HaAsif, you'll bring in that dried wheat. So once it's been fully dried out, so then the wheat is great for milling. But when it's freshly cut, it's still moist on the inside. And if you try to mill freshly cut wheat kernels, so then the endosperm, the white, what we call like the white flour, will be stuck because it's moist to the bran. And that being the case, the bran has just got lots of real edible truma food to it. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, if it's chadashos, if it's freshly cut, meaning within the last 30 days, this wheat has been cut, so then it hasn't dried out thoroughly, and therefore, when you grind it, whatever subin, whatever bran you have left behind, will have lots of endosperm edible flour attached to it, and therefore you can't let a non-kohen eat it, because it's still truma. But after 30 days, and it's yashan, it's now old wheat, meaning more than 30 days old wheat, now it's fully dried out, and if you mill it and sift it, the bran that's left behind in the sifting process will be dry and have no endosperm, white flour attached to it. And therefore, once it's been discarded as non-flour, it could be eaten by a non-Kohen because it doesn't have a din of truma. The words inside the Mishnah, I'm reading now, hamursan mutar, that very rough, fibrous brush, is mutar because it's not food at all. But subin, as for the bran, the inner layer, the skin around the wheat kernel, shel chadashos asuros, if it's freshly cut 30 days or less cut, then it's forbidden. Vashel yashanos, after 30 days and it's now seasoned, dried out wheat, it's mutaros, that bran is mutar, it's permitted to be eaten by non-Kohanim because it's not considered food anymore. V'noag b'truma k'derech shu'noag b'chulin. Now this is kind of a new point here, but it's really connected. You're not allowed to waste truma food. That's what we've said up to now. So the question is, how punctilious, how careful you need to be when you consume your truma to not waste anything, to not leave a drop behind, to not let anything, get lost in the machinery when you're milling it and so on and so forth. So the answer, the Mishnah says, is be normal, whatever your normal standards of food consumption are, that apply to non-truma as they do to truma. The Mishnah says, Noag b'truma k'derech shu noag b'chulin. You should treat your truma in the same way you treat your chulin, your non-truma foods. Meaning, if it's not considered a waste by chulin, it's not considered a waste by truma. Okay? Now, that said, if you're going to be sifting your flour extra fine to produce something called solas, which probably really resembles like our white flour today, but in any case, that was considered to be super fancy. And to get solas, you have to use a very fine sifter. And you'll end up sifting out, leaving behind lots of perfectly edible flour, which is not even bran, it's just flour. They, of course, couldn't grind their wheat as well as we could today. So not everything was ground fine enough to make it through the final sifting. So the point is, if a person only eats super duper fine flour, he'll have a lot of leftover flour in the sifter. The question is, since he's not planning on eating that flour, is it considered to be flour or waste? So the Mishnah is going to say, no, it's still flour and it's food. If you have those super high standards, so then more power to you, you're allowed to, but you certainly cannot dispose of and waste the flour that's perfectly edible. You have to protect it like other truma, it can't go to waste. So that's what the Mishnah says here inside. Hamasales, that's a verb for creating soles, one who creates very fine flour. Kavo kabayim lasa, that for every one sa of flour going in before the sifting process, only one or two kabin come out for eating. Again, you'll recall, our sa is the size of a six-pack of two-liter bottles. Each two-liter bottle is one kav, which means for six kabin that go in to the sifting process, only one or two come out as with the flour that's good enough for you to eat. So you're leaving four or five kabin behind. So that's just to refine a palate, and what you're leaving behind is perfectly good food, and therefore it's truma and must be protected as such. No one said you have to eat it, but you certainly are not at liberty to just dispose of it. So the Mishnah says, in such a case, lo ya'abed es hashar, you can't just destroy the remaining four or five kabin that didn't make it through your sifting. Ella yanichen b'makam hamutzna, you have to put it in a safe place, and it'll spoil by itself. And when it does spoil, of course, you can dispose of it, but until then, it has to be protected from destruction and tumah.